This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It is March, and there's a ton going on weather-wise. We got a break today. Breezy, sunny day. After a wild start to the week weather-wise, with blizzard conditions to our south, and snow and a miserable commute and so on and so forth, and now that snow is melting away, and we have an even nicer day tomorrow, into the 60s on Monday, back into the 40s, and then we could see a ton of rain by the end of the week. Once again, that I'm not a meteorologist by trade, but I do follow meteorologists. It's kind of my new nerdy thing that I do.
It's a hobby? And
not really a hobby, but, you know, I've been reading the weather on the radio for years, and, you know, severe weather coverage here on the weekends. It doesn't just happen Monday through Friday. We do get bad weather on the weekends. And so, all right, I've gotten used to, after all these years, of keeping an eye on the radar and watch the weather and look at the forecast and keep an eye on the watches and warnings. And now I have this deal of, okay, if something shows up a week out in the local forecast, I'll do a little digging and try and find out more. And they say this could be a deep low approaching the area out of Colorado late next week. Now, what that could mean, right now they're saying rain. There is a chance of rain Friday. Rain may be a thunderstorm Friday night and windy. And then next Saturday, this is all they're saying, rain, 53, and really high winds. You know, sustained winds and wind gusts over 30 miles an hour. Now, it's very early. It's still a week out. But that got me to checking. So that's the next one to keep an eye on in these parts. And, you know, the storm track, and if it goes further north or whatever, there could be a different impact here in the metro area. Not trying to scare anyone, just that's kind of the next. Otherwise, very quiet between now and the end of next week, weather-wise. Now, there's a lot going on sports-wise. We already kind of gave you the update over at the U. Now, the Wild, they are idle. They get Pittsburgh in a matinee. I like the matinees. I don't know about you, Lindsay, but they play a lot of Saturday and Sunday matinees in the Eastern Conference of the NHL. Mm-hmm. I like this trend. Once the NFL's done, the NBA, the NHL should be playing more matinees on the weekends.
Yeah, I need more time at night to rewatch Yellow Jackets or watch more of my Alaskan people living on the grid, or I should say off the grid show. That's how I escape my problems.
Well, you know, I do the same. I don't know about you. Speaking of videos, these people that build shelters out of sticks and twigs and old stumps, or dig snow caves, you know, to, in air quotes here, survive a night in the outdoors. That has been kind of my latest, because my youngest daughter and I, if the weather's really crummy, we always ask stuff like, do you think, like, in a tent, you could survive a night like tonight outside?
Yeah.
You know, those kinds of things. So that kind of sent me down this rabbit hole of these survival videos where it's like, okay, you're out in the woods and as all you have is a hatchet and this, that, and the other thing. And then these people start chopping down trees and building things, and it's like really cool to me. And then how do you clear the snow and build this big fire and then sleep over the coals? And
right.
It's pretty cool, I have to admit, and very relaxing.
Yeah, the visitors are certainly one thing. Like, you can build a shelter in case you're, like, in a Bear Grylls situation where you might have
right.
to get really
yeah, exactly.
creative with your hydration methods. But the ones that I'm watching, it's, like, up in the refuge in the northeastern corner of Alaska, that permits haven't been given out since the 1980s for people to just, like, live out there. And so there's only a handful of families that do it. So they're there
oh.
all season. They're there trapping and stuff. So we're not just here building a shelter full of sticks. I'm watching full Lincoln Logs in real life, Steve. It's the best.
Yeah, yeah. I do like that stuff. And people that live that way and survive and thrive. There was this guy, and I'm sure people have heard, and I'm not going to say his last name because I'll butcher it. But it's been a fixture on TPT during fun drives for years. It's this guy, and it may have been the 50s or 60s, that he kind of moved out of Anchorage or wherever he was and moved out to the boonies, to a lake in Alaska. And he lived alone, and he built this cabin, and it was a really nice cabin. Built it by himself, the logs, the roof, the everything, and then he built this bear-proof food storage area outside the cabin.
Bear-proof? I don't know.
Well, it is pretty bear-proof. But anyway, it's Dick something is his name, and you got to check it out. And people have done documentaries about this guy, and the film has appeared. Literally, this guy did the thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Moved to this lake, like 150 air miles from Anchorage. I mean, this is the middle of nowhere. You're not getting there on foot. You can't drive there, etc., by this really cool mountain lake. And he built this cabin and lived there year-round. It is extraordinary, and this happened, you know, 60 years ago, he started this journey. It's just absolutely fascinating. Now, could I do it? I wouldn't last a day or two. And then I would be like, I need the internet. I need refrigerated beverages. I couldn't do it.
Way too much skill regression in our overall society to be able to do that for ourselves.
I mean, if I had to, I could drink the lake water and eat berries and things I killed. I think I could get there, but in general, if I don't have to, I don't know about you, if you would be able to go off-grid and live that way.
No, I would not. I'm way too particular with what I eat. I'm like, where's my Hershey's chocolate? It's just more
I
was really obsessed with Balto at a young age, which is a movie about the sled dog team that I think helped save some people from diphtheria way back in the day, trying to get some of those vaccines or antidotes across the way through a sled dog team. That's why they do the Iditarod, I believe. So, Alaska.
Yeah.
That wasn't our plan to talk about, Steve, but I do enjoy these.
Anyway, back to where we were, big day in sports. Wild Penguins tomorrow, matinee. They got beat by Vancouver 3-1 on Friday. They're still above the playoff line, +8 on Calgary, but Calgary has a game in hand. Calgary is the first time out in the NHL's Western Conference. Timberwolves get San Antonio tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. They did win in Miami. They hang on. They beat the Heat 106-104. Loons tonight late at San Jose. If you have that fancy Apple TV subscription, you'll be able to see the game there. The Frost, they're at Toronto. They're still hanging in there, but they're in the bottom half of the standings in PWHL. and earlier today, the first of two championship games at the Boys State Hockey Tournament. You had the 1A at noon, East Grand Forks, the number four seed, against the number one seed, St. Cloud Cathedral, of the defending champs. And East Grand Forks had a 1-0 lead late in the game. St. Cloud Cathedral, under a minute to go, got the game-tying goal. They snuck it by the goaltender, tied at one, going to overtime. Now, Lindsey Brown, a goalie by trade, played in high school, played in college. I asked her, did you see the game winner for East Grand Forks in the 1A boys title game? And she said, I didn't. And I said, well, as a goalie, you probably need to, because it was a goal that's a major bummer for a goaltender. And at first, you didn't want to go there. You didn't want to have anything to do with this video, did you?
I know the shame. I know the shame well. And so, but I'm willing to do this for the listeners, Steve, for our fans, for the general education of the hockey public.
So, once again, I'll set the stage, and Lindsay, now it is radio, but Lindsay's going to watch a video for the first time as a goaltender right now. And I feel for the kid. Great season. St. Cloud Cathedral had a great season. But really tough goal here. East Grand Forks wins the title. All right, I set the stage.
You have.
East Grand Forks carries a puck into the zone in OT, tied at one.
Yep.
Lindsay, watch the video.
Yep. Thank goodness for TikTok. Oh, they're going over the blue line. Oh, it's a long shot. It goes into the corner. Oh, no! Is that rebound put in from below the goal line, Steve? Did the shooter bank it off the leg? Did it go off the leg against the post? Is this almost just like the Patrick Kane Stanley Cup winning goal in Philadelphia all those years ago? Or dare I say the 2010 Vancouver Olympics? That's the type of angle we're dealing with here, Steve. I mean, girl, I've been there. Whoever this goalie is, I've been there. That's the worst when you don't recover as hard as you probably should to the post. That's why we say when you have those rebounds, you got to go hard to the post, follow it, because you never know when that second shot is going to come, and that goaltender just gets to the post just a little bit too late. East Grand Forks player just throws it on the net like you're supposed to, and it goes in, and that repeat bid.
Oh.
Wow. That is brutal.
Yeah, and I was leery, but then as a goalie, and we've talked about your experiences, I said, you got to see it and walk through it, and I'm sure every goalie's been there at some point in time. And you probably go through that in practice. I feel for the kid. I feel for St. Cloud Cathedral. They had a great run, a great year. East Grand Forks, give them credit. They had a phenomenal tournament. They win it 2-1. And for the kid in the corner, I mean, he's in the corner below the goal line and throws it at the net, which is what you're supposed to do. You never know. It could bounce off one of your guys. It could bounce off one of the other guys or the goalie into the net, and it did. Wow.
It'll just bother him for the rest of his life, because the goals that I gave up in my final couple games certainly do, and that was much lower stakes. So it's just, it's part of the position, Steve. You live with the shame, and it's a great lesson for life. It doesn't matter what you do. You're probably going to lose.
And once again, congrats to both teams. St. Cloud Cathedral, great year. East Grand Forks, great year. The Forks win it 2-1 in overtime. Tonight, 2-8 title game, Stillwater and Moorhead. Stillwater, the number two seed. Moorhead, the number one seed. This should be a good one. Stillwater, two shutouts. Speaking of goaltending, the Stillwater Ponies' Cal Conway has pitched two shutouts in the state tournament. And I saw their semifinal win. I called it on the radio, up the dial. Don't tell anyone. Stillwater last night beat St. Thomas Academy. Conway was phenomenal. Used to play at Andover, made the move over to Stillwater, and now a shutout away from a title against Moorhead. How about that on your resume? If he's able to get the win, get the shutout tonight, I don't know how many times that's been done in state history, but
very few. It
should be a good one. Stillwater against Moorhead tonight in the 2A title game at 7 o'clock. Quick break. We have got much more coming up here on the program. News Talk 830 WCCO. David LeVake will talk state hockey and that matchup in a moment. He covers high school sports for the Star Tribune. David LeVake in a moment here on CCO. Didn't. And I said, well, as a goalie, you probably need to, because it was a goal that's a major bummer for a goaltender. And at first, you didn't want to go there. You didn't want to have anything to do with this video, did you?
I know the shame. I know the shame well. And so, but I'm willing to do this for the listeners, Steve, for our fans, for the general education of the hockey public.
So, once again, I'll set the stage. And Lindsay, now it is radio, but Lindsay's going to watch a video for the first time as a goaltender right now. And I feel for the kid. Great season. St. Cloud Cathedral had a great season. But really tough goal here. East Grand Forks wins the title. All right. I set the stage.
You have.
East Grand Forks carries the puck into the zone in OT, tied at one.
Yep.
Lindsay, watch the video.
Yep. Thank goodness for TikTok. Oh, they're going over the blue line. Oh, it's a long shot. It goes into the corner. Oh, no. Is that rebound put in from below the goal line, Steve? Did the shooter bank it off the leg? Did it go off the leg against the post? Is this almost just like the Patrick Kane Stanley Cup winning goal in Philadelphia all those years ago? Or dare I say the 2010 Vancouver Olympics? That's the type of angle we're dealing with here, Steve. I mean, girl, I've been there. Whoever this goalie is, I've been there. That's the worst when you don't recover as hard as you probably should to the post. That's why we say when you have those rebounds, you got to go hard to the post, follow it. Because you never know when that second shot is going to come. And that goaltender just gets to the post just a little bit too late. East Grand Forks player just throws it on the net like you're supposed to. And it goes in. And that repeat bid.
Oh.
Wow. That is brutal.
Yeah. And I was leery. But then as a goalie, and we've talked about your experiences, I said, you got to see it and walk through it. And I'm sure every goalie's been there at some point in time. And you probably go through that in practice. I feel for the kid. I feel for St. Cloud Cathedral. They had a great run, a great year. East Grand Forks, give them credit. They had a phenomenal tournament. They win it 2-1. And for the kid in the corner, I mean, he's in the corner below the goal line and throws it at the net, which is what you're supposed to do. You never know. It could bounce off one of your guys. It could bounce off one of the other guys or the goalie into the net, and it did. Wow.
It'll just bother him for the rest of his life because the goals that I gave up in my final couple games certainly do, and that was much lower stakes. So it's just, it's part of the position, Steve. You live with the shame, and it's a great lesson for life. It doesn't matter what you do. You're probably going to lose.
And once again, congrats to both teams. St. Cloud Cathedral, great year. East Grand Forks, great year. The Forks win it 2-1 in overtime. Tonight, 2-8 title game, Stillwater. And Moorhead, Stillwater, the number 2 seed. Moorhead, the number 1 seed. This should be a good one. Stillwater, 2 shutouts. Speaking of goaltending, the Stillwater Ponies, Cal Conway, has pitched 2 shutouts in the state tournament. And I saw their semifinal win. I called it on the radio, up the dial. Don't tell anyone. Stillwater, last night, beat St. Thomas Academy. Conway was phenomenal. Used to play at Andover, made the move over to Stillwater, and now a shutout away from a title against Moorhead. How about that on your resume? If he's able to get the win, get the shutout tonight, I don't know how many times that's been done in state history, but
very few. It
should be a good one. Stillwater against Moorhead tonight in the 2A title game at 7 o'clock. Quick break. We have got much more coming up here on the program. News Talk 830 WCCO. David LeVake will talk state hockey and that matchup in a moment. He covers high school sports for the Star Tribune. David LeVake in a moment here on CCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
We talked about the tourney in a thriller in 1A. East Grand Forks beat St. Cloud Cathedral 2-1 in overtime. From below the goal line, a shot from the corner sneaks into the net, and East Grand Forks, the number 4 seed, wins the 1A title. St. Cloud Cathedral got the tying goal with under a minute to go in the third to force overtime. Quite a finish tonight. Stillwater and Moorhead in the 2A championship, number 2 against number 1 in that one. Talk about that more. David Levesque from the Star Tribune. Dave, good to visit with you. It's been a while.
Thank you. It's nice to have you. Nice to be on with you, Steve.
Yeah, and tonight, number 2 against number 1, and the Moorhead Spuds, what a team, elite scoring. And then you got Stillwater and Greg Zanin and Thomas Vanek on the bench, and they've had a tremendous year. And what a section final win over Hill Murray. I mean, this has the ingredients of a great title game tonight.
I hope so. I think if you're Moorhead, you got to make sure you score on Cal Conway, because yeah, the longer you let it go, the shutout streak, you know, the more it gets in your head. So hopefully Moorhead can. That can solve Conway, and then go from there.
Yeah, quite a year for both teams, and it wouldn't be the state tournament if we didn't talk about your book, Tourney Time. It's been on the market for a while. It's been updated, and I would assume at some point you're going to do another update to this thing, and that's what's cool about it.
I would love it. I'm curious to have you call my publisher. I think it would be another update would be fabulous.
Yeah, let's talk about what people will find in Tourney Time, Dave.
Well, you're going to find you're not going to find glorified box scores. You're going to find stories about the team that won, and you're going to find a lot of interviews. I think Lauren and I did more than 400 interviews for that thing. And, you know, make sure that we got the voice of the players and the coaches. And then that's the secret sauce.
Yeah, David LeVay and Lauren Nelson did great work on tourney time. And another big year for an event that really has a life of its own. I was down there for the 2A semifinal game between Stillwater and St. Thomas Academy. And 6 o'clock start, slow to fill in. But by the time you get into the second period, the place is absolutely packed. And there's just nothing like that Friday night at the state hockey tournament. It's just the visuals are something that I think people from other parts of the country. So everybody's here for high school hockey. It's extraordinary.
Yeah, the seating it sets up for the idea is that the section final Friday is kind of a peak time to make sure that we get the best teams through. And then hopefully they play each other. So, yeah, Friday being a good draw is not unexpected.
Yeah, 19,000 plus at the X. Another great crowd expected tonight for the championship, and then Mr. Hockey will be handed out on Sunday, and that's another great tradition. And you know, in this tournament. And there's a lot of teams that didn't get to the tournament with a lot of high-end talent. It goes without saying, year in, year out, so many terrific players here in the state of Minnesota.
There are. This is what we do best, and it's reflected in the talent. And we name one Mr. Hockey winner, but we could name several. So it's a very, very, very competitive situation for the top senior skater.
Yeah. For sure, and a lot of great goaltenders. You mentioned Cal Conway for Stillwater tonight. He's going to have his hands full against the high-flying Moorhead Spuds. Hey, David, always good to visit with you. And once again, enjoy another title game tonight at the X.
Thank you so much, Steve.
There he is, David LeVake, Star Tribune, joining us here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. In his book, and he did the book with Lauren Nelson, and it was updated, and I don't know why they wouldn't continue to update this every few years. Tourney Time Stories from the Minnesota Boys State Hockey Tournament, wherever you buy books. It is 529. We'll have the weather, and then Dame Mizutani, who covers the Vikings for the Star Tribune. A new NFL year starts, and that means free agency. It starts this week. As a matter of fact, I kind of get a kick out of it gets me to thinking about the late George Carlin's routine of the difference between football and baseball, one of the great comedy routines of all time. The NFL year starts on Wednesday, March 12th. It's just so official that they have their own start of the year. So we'll get into that. Where's Sam Darnold going to end up? All of that stuff. Dane Mizutani following the weather here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. I do want to go on the record. I'm a big fan of daylight saving time. I like a little more light at the end of the workday, and I understand we can't stay that way all year round, or it'd be dark till 9 a.m. in the dead of winter. I do get that part. By the way, the new NFL year starts this week, Wednesday to be exact, and that means free agency. And here we are in a world where Sam Darnold is the biggest name in NFL free agency. Go back 1 year ago, and if you would have told me that the key free agent and where he lands would be Sam Darnold, who would have believed that? And to sort that out and more, Dane Mizutani joins us from the Pioneer Press. You heard Dane all season long on the morning news with Vanita, typically on Mondays. By the way, Dane, great job with Vanita on the morning news. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Yeah, it's always fun going on with her and recapping the game. And, yeah, excited to get this thing rolling again.
Yeah, It is amazing. It is a year-round league, that's for sure. Interest in the NFL is off the charts. You obviously know that, being on the beat. And here we go. But Sam Darnold, I lay that out there a year ago. If you would have said Sam Darnold would be the biggest name in free agency in early March 2025, who would have believed that?
Yeah, I don't think many people would have believed that. Maybe if the Vikings were being honest with themselves, they wouldn't even have believed that. But it speaks to the season he's had and how incredible he played, the growth he showed under head coach Kevin O'Connell and that entire Vikings offense. I mean, he's really earned this payday that's going to come. It sounds like, you know, the reports, which usually there is some intel that there's been a wink-wink, nudge-nudge deal worked out. We saw it last year with Kirk Cousins. The reports surfacing today are that Sam Darnold's probably going to sign with Seattle on Monday or agree to terms once the legal tampering period in the NFL opens up. And I think he's going to sign a pretty lucrative deal, being, like you said, maybe the top free agent out there. But just, I couldn't be happier for the guy. I think he got dealt a pretty crappy hand in New York. Continued to just kind of be a good soldier. Went to Carolina. Backed up a year in San Francisco, really journeyman route to where he is now. And now he's going to be rewarded with some money that could create some generational wealth for him and his family.
Yeah, and Dane, I think a lot of fans think about the regular season finale in Detroit with the Rams. Didn't go his way. He played poorly. I think anybody would admit it wasn't his night. Not 100% his fault. And then the game with the Rams, same deal. Didn't play particularly well. Certainly not 100% of us. It's the ultimate team game. You can't hang it all on the quarterback. But I now think, with some time and space and thinking about those games and where the O-line was and maybe where the team was as a whole, you can't hang it all on Darnold in those two games.
No, I think Sam probably lost himself some money.
Yep.
Over the last 2 weeks of the season with just how it all happened. I think even with Seattle giving him this deal or in position to give him this deal, if they end up doing that, the money probably looks a little different if he plays well in the regular season finale against Detroit or in the playoff game against the Los Angeles Rams. But you are right when I look at that Los Angeles Rams game in particular. Look, the Detroit game against the Lions, Sam did look like he crumbled under the pressure. He missed throws that he usually makes. You just go back and watch the film of that game. There's touchdowns all over the place in the red zone, and Sam Darnold just doesn't see it. So if you want to say that game he underwhelmed, yes, I think I would agree with you. The fact that the Los Angeles Rams game then happens 6 days later, it's easy to conflate the two, but those are two different games completely. I don't think any quarterback plays well in front of that offensive line that the Vikings trotted out there in the playoff game against the Rams. We saw it in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes played terribly with his offensive line crumbling in front of him. So I think when you zoom out, you can kind of separate those two games. Very bad in Detroit. I'll give him a little bit more of a pass for the way he played in the playoff game. Probably lost himself some money, but I think what we're seeing now is you win 14 games, you throw for over 4,000 yards, you throw for 35 touchdowns. People can overlook maybe your worst game for the bigger sample size.
Dane Mizutani joining us from the Pioneer Press on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. He covers the Vikings. Free agency starts on Wednesday. A little bit more about Darnold. There was some thought that the Vikes might hang the franchise tag on him and then try to trade him. There is some risk and all of that. We don't need to get too far into the weeds, but was there ever a thought that Darnold could be coming back, or the Vikings would even sign him to a deal beyond putting the franchise tag on it?
Yeah, I think if the Vikings franchise tagged Darnold, and they did not, the Tuesday deadline came and went, if they did end up pulling that lever, I think it would have been to trade him. It would have been because they have found in their conversations at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis that there is a team that wants to jump the line. I don't think Sam Darnold was ever going to play on the franchise tag in Minnesota. $40 million tied up into that guy with all the other needs you have on the team. I just don't think it was going to happen. I know the Seattle report has surfaced, and it sure seems like it's going to be going that way. But I do think there was a world, and maybe there is still a world, where the Vikings would have Sam Darnold back at their number. You've seen the Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell regime do this, where they draw a pretty definite line in the sand, and they say, this is our number, and they don't move from that. I think they probably have a number in mind for Sam Darnold. I just think it's probably going to be a lot lower than the going rate on the market. So I think there is some truth to the fact that if they could have their cake and eat it too, they would want him back. But with the amount of holes they have to fill in free agency, and with a lack of draft capital going into this draft as well, the math just doesn't math. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and by the way, the door open for Darnold potentially in Seattle with Geno Smith going over to the Raiders. That brings up another name, a guy they brought in, and that's Daniel Jones. And there certainly figures to be some interest in Jones as everyone tries to find quarterbacks, because everybody knows it's the most important position in the NFL. Without a quarterback, you really don't have a chance.
Yeah, and I think that's where Daniel Jones signing with the Vikings last year, being on the practice squad, being elevated at the end of the year, that was all done, I think, with this in mind. If Sam Darnold moves on, we got a small sample size of what this guy looks like in our building, and he gets to kind of see that from his perspective. Is this a good fit with the Vikings? The only issue with that is Sam Darnold might have suitors elsewhere. He might have a team willing to pay him more than the Vikings will pay him. He might have a team that's willing to say, you're our guy, you're our QB1, you don't have to compete for the job, which I think if he signs back here, it would be under the guise of, yeah, you're going to compete with JJ McCarthy for the starting job, and you're probably going to lose and be the backup. If Sam Darnold, or if Daniel Jones wants to be a starter, there might be an avenue for him out there. So the Vikings are going to be bidding against other teams, not only for Sam Darnold, but for Daniel Jones as well.
And then there's the Aaron Rodgers angle in all of this. And I kind of shrug it off and say, number one, why would any team in their right mind want to bring that into their building? And that being a very descriptive word for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think I might agree with you, but there is the whole Brett Favre loop that everyone wants to be closed. And yeah. Aaron Rodgers obviously starts his career in Green Bay like Brett Favre does, plays for the New York Jets like Brett Favre does. Yeah. It only makes sense if he finishes his career with the Vikings like Brett Favre did. I don't know. I don't see it necessarily, but you see some of the murmurings come out today. It does lead me to believe there is some interest, at least from Aaron Rodgers' side. Is there interest from the Vikings side? I guess we'll see. But if you're Aaron Rodgers, why the heck wouldn't you want to come play here? If you're Aaron Rodgers and you're pushing 40 and you want to contend for a Super Bowl, well, there's one team that might need a QB1 out there that can help you contend for a Super Bowl, and that you could, in theory, help contend for a Super Bowl. The New York Giants are not going anywhere. They're not going to win the Super Bowl next year. They're not going to sniff the playoffs next year.
No.
You know, like the Cleveland Browns, same thing. If there's one team out there that would be the fit Aaron Rodgers is looking for, it is probably the Minnesota Vikings. But it takes two to tango. We'll see on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week if there's mutual interest from both sides. But the reports that came out this morning certainly makes me think that it is a possibility.
Well, and Dane, what you think about the weapons they have. Any free agent quarterback, you have Justin Jefferson, et cetera, that's got to be intriguing in itself. Just the fact that, you know, okay, there's O-line issues to be addressed. We all know that. But you certainly have, you know, one of the two or three best receivers in the NFL, and Justin Jefferson, some would say he's number one. I know you could argue. But certainly top three, easy.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that's why if Aaron Rodgers truly does have interest, it's because of the pieces in place in Minnesota. I think the only thing that would make Minnesota not an attractive landing spot for any quarterback. Aaron Rodgers probably doesn't fit into this mold because if he signs, he's probably starting. But if you're one of the other free agents out there, do you want to step into a room with J.J. McCarthy, the prodigal son who was selected number 10 overall, who the entire fan base wants to start? That's probably why Minnesota isn't the most attractive quarterback option to some, is because, well, do they even want him here?
Yeah, if you're
looking at that. But, yes, across the board, you would be hard-pressed to find a team that has more offensive weapons than the Vikings that also simultaneously has a quarterback need.
Yeah. Dane, before we let you go and run out of time, and thanks again for your time, what's the priority for the Vikings? What are you expecting on Wednesday for the Vikings to do free agent-wise?
Yeah, I think they're going to try to shore up the interior of the offensive line, whether that's signing one guard, whether that's signing two guards, whether that's signing a guard and a center. Maybe it's signing all three positions. I don't know. I think they are going to make a concerted effort to get better in the interior of the offensive line. Just hasn't been good enough. And it hasn't been good enough for going on a decade now. I think they're going to work and use that money that they have to address that. Probably first and foremost, I could see them going shopping on the cornerback market. If they don't bring back Byron Murphy Jr., then I think it might make sense to go sign a cornerback. And then I think they will kick the tires on the interior of the defensive line too. But there's holes across the board, and I think they're going to be pretty busy as soon as Monday.
All right. Well, Dane, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Anytime.
All right, there he is, Dane Mizutani of the Pioneer Press, covers the Vikings. And you hear him in season on Mondays, typically, with Vanita on the morning news here on News Talk 830 WCCO. When we come back, we'll run through the headlines from the day in sports and say goodbye here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Twins had a 7-0 lead in the Grapefruit League over the Red Sox at Hammond Stadium. Red Sox rally back, lead at 8-7. Twins get one in the bottom of the eighth, one in the bottom of the ninth. Win it 9-8. And they'll be in Sarasota to play Baltimore tomorrow at noon. Don't forget, Pete Najeri and Dave Schwartz have the huddle beginning at 10 a.m. They'll talk Wild, Timberwolves, and so on. And who knows, maybe the state champion coach out of the 2A title game tonight over at the Xcel Energy Center, Stillwater and Moore had the Ponies the number two, the Spuds the number one seed. The boys state champion in hockey will be crowned tonight. Over at 3M Arena at Mariucci, Gopher men take on Notre Dame in game two. They need a win to force a game three in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament. The Fighting Irish won 3-2 on Friday night. Golden Gopher women up in Duluth. WCHA Frozen Phase off. Wisconsin roared back, beat Minnesota 4-3. The Badgers have dropped one game all year. Gophers should make the NCAA tournament. Gopher women's hoops out at the Big Ten tournament earlier in the week. Gopher men at Rutgers tomorrow at noon. They're 7-12 in the Big Ten, 15-15 overall as the end of the regular season looms in the Big Ten tournament for the men coming up there. Timberwolves, San Antonio tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Wild play a matinee tomorrow at the X against the Pittsburgh Penguins at 2:30. The Wild, Lindsay, I don't know about you, but they're hanging on. They're 8 ahead of Calgary for the final playoff spot. Calgary on the outside looking in below the playoff line. And the Wild need some scoring punch back in the lineup at some point here.
Yeah, certainly. But it's not like Bill Guerin made any moves at the trade deadline, which featured a lot of talent going to the Western Conference. That really puts them in that upper echelon of competing for a cup. We all know what the salary cap constrictions they've been working with and where they're at in that timeline. And so it's kind of this month of March. We've talked a lot about how good they are on the road, so they're going to be home a lot this month. It's really kind of make or break based off of how they perform there.
Yeah, and they haven't been very good at home. And he did make minor moves, but really kind of handcuffed Parisi Suter, We'll say it one more time. The Parisi-Suter contract will finally be able to move beyond that after this season. I'm relieved. We won't have to say Parisi or Suter ever again. After
unless Suter's playing us, even though and because he's getting paid by three Central Division teams at this point.
What a gig, huh?
I know. I know.
Yeah, what a great gig. By the way, the Loons late tonight in San Jose. It is on Apple TV, but I'm not going to pay. Every now and then they have the free Apple TV game, and then I'll watch. But I'm not signing up for another subscription. With all due respect to MLS and the Loons, so there's that. Frost on the road at Toronto. They need a win. They play tomorrow at noon our time. Earlier in the day, 1A champs East Grand Forks beat St. Cloud Cathedral 2-1 in overtime. I think that covers it. Lindsey Brown, great job. Thank you. We had a long Twins game today. We still snuck in Tech Talk and had a little fun too. I will have the news at 6. Have a great Saturday night here on CCO.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.